Kathy and I were, the last time we were supposed to minister and Ricky filled in for me, we actually got asked to come minister at a barrel race in Hamilton. They were having a big one, and a friend of Kathy's was in charge of getting someone to minister, and they called. So I called Ricky and asked, if he'd trade with me and stuff, and that was all good. And so there'd been a lot of things, weather, and a friend of ours, our daughter-in-law's dad had been really sick, and so we had one Sunday just because of some of that, we had to be there, and different things. But man, we left this morning, and we're about 45 minutes from the house, and we get a phone call. And I almost called him and said, okay, I've got to go turn around and go back home. And he said, well, we could have done it. And I said, yeah, but they had our oldest, Caleb and Kirby, that's our son and his wife and their two kids. They go to Paul Ann there in San Angelo. It's a really neat church, but they had a big youth deal this weekend. And our grandson got saved last night. They were baptizing him today. So they're videoing it for us. And we're going to go, because Gary, Kirby's dad, he couldn't go either. So we're all going to go have a deal, see him take communion and watch the video of Eli getting baptized. But a treat. Okay, so for the visitors that don't know, I'm the one that gets political behind the pulpit. And, I do really try to avoid it some. I'm like, not really, huh? Well, the other day, the message. So this first part, the other day the Lord prompted me to go to Esther. And y'all know I've ministered on the book of Esther before. But the last week or so, the Lord kept saying, I need to go read Esther again. With all of the things transpiring in the nation and how many watch Flashpoint? How many here watch Flashpoint? Okay, so y'all seen so much of what's going on and man, the attacks on President Trump and everything else that's going on with it. And so I go back and I read Esther Howdy and I just go through there and I'm like, Lord, just because I could have read all 10 chapters to y'all today and expounded on all of it as far as from that standpoint. But he wanted to remind us of a few things in Esther. And so if you want to go with me, it's right before Job, which is right before Psalms, and turn to the book of Esther, and I'm just going to point out a few things that the Lord took me in. How many kind of have a little knowledge of the book of Esther and what it's about? Most everybody? Okay, we most all got a grasp on that, so I don't want to go in and take, but Esther was a Jew, and her uncle Mordecai raised her. The original queen, she disobeyed the king. She got ousted. They take interviews for a new queen. And how they take interviews is they basically just kidnap you and put you in a deal. But then they had to go through all these beautification processes. Esther, she winds up being the most beautiful when all this is done and the king chooses her as the new queen. Well, but this is all God's plan. Because Esther is a Jew, and they're fixing to try to take out all the Jews. And so Esther, she's brought to, at that time, and one of the things you didn't do if you were the queen, you didn't go before the king until the king summoned you. And if you did, it was worthy of death. Well, now there's come a plan to annihilate the Jews. And this guy's name's Haman. And he wants to take out the Jews because of Mordecai. Mordecai, who is Esther's uncle, is set at the gate, and he won't bow down to Haman. I want to give you just a quick deal to catch on to some things here that's going on. Pictures of what's happening not only in our government and in the nation of Israel right now. So we know, pray, continue to pray and stand. But so Mordecai, what he does, he actually here's a plan to kill the king, and he reveals that plan to one of the king's eunuchs, however you say that, whatever they are. He's a right-hand man, okay, for us cowboys. He's a helper. He works at the ranch. And Mordecai shares this with him. He reveals it, and the two guys that are going to kill the king, they get hanged. And then, so everything goes on. Well, then here comes Haman. He gets promoted because one of these guys was going to kill the king. He was the right-hand guy. And so they promote Haman, and he's up there with the king. And so he's now, but he don't like Mordecai because Mordecai won't bow down to him. The king had made, you know, he'd put Haman in charge, and Mordecai won't bow down. Sound familiar in our government anywhere? And so they go along here, and now Haman, because Mordecai won't bow down, he devises a plan and goes into the king and gets a decree to annihilate the Jewish nation, the whole people, all of them that are scattered throughout this country. And anyway, so this goes on, and Mordecai, he hears of it. And so at the day, you know, was prayer, sackcloth, ashes, and fasting. And Esther sees from her spot in the palace Mordecai in sackcloth and ashes. And she gets concerned. So she sends a messenger to Mordecai. Well, then he reveals to Esther's helper what the plan is and tells Esther, you got to go before the king and tell him what's going on. She said, you know, if I go before the king, this is in chapter 4 right here, if I go before the king, then, and he hasn't summoned me, the penalty's death. And he said, if you don't go before the king, God will find someone else because you were born for such a time as this. It's in chapter 4. All that just to go right there. I'm going to just read in verse 13 a short little bit here in verse chapter 4. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Number one, the Lord said, remind all of us, we are here for such a time as this. We're a chosen generation. This is in 1 Peter 1 or 2 there. It says, every one of us, we're part of a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own special people, that we may proclaim the praises of God. So if we don't, it's going to come from another place. And I don't take that, as Mordecai said to Esther, if you don't, you and your household will perish. In other words, I haven't looked that word perish up in the Greek to see what all it entails. But you know what? To me, that just simply says, if you don't do what God has asked, if we don't each one do what we know the Lord's asking us to do, we remove ourselves out from under the secret place of the Most High and under His blessing. And I want to remain there. And I believe each one of us does. So Esther, she's like, okay, I'm going. If I die, I die. We got to get that attitude. We got to love our lives, not unto death. We got to get that deal that other people are dying and going to hell if we don't speak up, if we don't stand for what we know is the right thing. That's the love of God. So Esther, she goes. And she asks the king, you know, she kind of finagles that around to where he sees her and he calls her, you know, and she comes. And she said, I want to have a feast and I want you to come to dinner. You and your servant Haman. Well, Haman, he gets all excited. He's like, He goes home and tells his wife, said, man, I'm going before the king to eat and the queen, she asked me to come too. You know, he's real excited about this. And she knows that Haman has put this decree out to kill all the Jews. So, in the meantime, Mordecai, the king, someone was revealed to him. Y'all need to go read all of this for yourselves, because I don't want to just... But Mordecai, the king finds out that Mordecai is the one that had told the head eunuch that the guys that were going to kill him. And so But he don't tell Haman who he's asking about. He just said, what should be done? Because Haman don't know it was Mordecai that told him, okay? He says, what should be done for the man, the person that revealed this? And Mordecai said, man, you ought to put him on, dress him in a royal robe, and you ought to put him on a, Haman's telling this, put him on the best horse and a chariot and parade him before all the people. He said, go get that for Mordecai. And Haman's like, I'm going to kill Mordecai. He ain't going to tell the king now. But now here he is. So, you know, Haman, he goes home knowing he's going to eat, though, with the king and the queen. But he tells his wife, he said, I got to parade Mordecai through the town. I'd rather, yeah, he's just whining and complaining and throwing him in a fit, throwing his sucker in the dirt. And she says, well, build a gallows and have him hanged. And this, that took place before he found out that part. Okay, I got a little outline there. But he's got plans to hang Mordecai, and then that's when he finds out, and the king says, well, we're going to honor him. And so now he's all upset. But he's going to dinner with the king and the queen. And then the king asks, Esther, what would you have me do? And she tells that Haman is the one that wants Mordecai hung. And the king said, hang him on the very gallows he created for Mordecai. Read, it's 10 chapters. It doesn't take 15 minutes to read this book of Esther. But the things that God said, we need to be encouraged, because y'all, I don't know how many watched, what's that lady's name, Kathy? Arizona. Who? Carrie Lake. Did y'all see the deal or not, where this guy, where they showed the bribery thing and everything, and then that guy resigns the next day? Hey, huh? Haman. I'm telling you, you're going to see lots of Hamans hung on the gallows this year. And the Lord said, keep praying, keep standing, holding up Psalms 83 over President Trump, Psalms 83 and 89 over President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu. They are here for such a time as this. They have been anointed and appointed. We got new people coming in that are running for office that are appointed by God to fill these positions. And we need to be sure that we're holding them up, because God has divine protection of them. That's one part we got to play. We got many others, but that's one part that we have to play. And I don't know, the Lord said, I want you to remind everyone, stand, because these are things that are fixing to take place. You know, Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Trump, in my opinion, this isn't thus saith the Lord, God's put their hand over the affairs of each nation, and it spreads further because of the world system that all those different organizations are trying to create one world order. And these are two of the men that are heavily at the forefront of preventing that. But we need to keep standing and believing for him and praying. So, anyway, I thank you all for letting me share that with you. I just felt like I was supposed to do that. I have this whole message out here, Ricky. And I have one more little excerpt concerning all this. That was a book called 100 Bible Verses That Made America. And this was concerning John Witherspoon. I'm just a few little. In 1768, the small Presbyterian College of New Jersey, later Princeton University, needed a president. They hired a hard-headed, strong-hearted clergyman from Scotland, John Witherspoon, who brought his family to America to assume the task. This is titled "When Politics Got into the Pulpit." Fits me. He was a teacher there, and from his students came 12 members of Continental Congress, 5 delegates to the Constitutional Convention, 28 senators, 49 congressmen, and 3 Supreme Court justices, 1 Secretary of State, and several other cabinet members, a vice president, and 1 president, James Madison, the father of the Constitution. From a man that decided that if you did not, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the brunt of it was, he said, if we do not, as ministers, share God's principles concerning our nation and the way it was founded and to be run, then we failed. And it's part of our job. And so I'm the one out of the four that gets to do it here. And I love it. Because, I mean, we were doing a Bible study at Hex when we were still living there. And this one lady that come, she stirred up a lot of stuff, Betsy. And one day she texted me all this stuff and said, I am kind of a provocateur. Well, I didn't know what a provocateur was. So I had to go look the word up. And in cowboy terms, I said it differently, howdy. But it's one that stirs up a lot of trouble. And it can be good and bad, but they instigate and stir things up. We need to be provocateurs on behalf of our Jesus and this nation, in a good way, in love. Not the way she was doing it, and not the way that me or Brian or Betsy can do it sometimes. But so, anyway, we're all here for such a time as this, and we have a responsibility to fulfill, and we're going to fulfill. So I'm filling my spot. I mean, I'm going to fill it, and you know what? We compliment one another, but sometimes we don't need to be in the same room when we're doing it. We need to be sold out to fill our spot, but we need to realize that that spot's complimenting others, and what they're doing is complimenting us. And I don't need to be critical of how they go about their job. I'm gonna follow my lead, and I'm going to do, and God will correct me. And if they need correcting, God will correct them. We stay out of the correction business, and we'll go a whole lot further. Let God do the correcting. Okay. So when we went to the barrel race, I'm going to get into the message now, Kenny. When we went to the barrel race, I got to hurry. All that week, you know, most of the time at those kind of things, it's like Corey's talking about, you know, you're most of them are evangelistic from a standpoint. You don't always have a lot of believers there. And so you're kind of going on the evangelistic end of things. But that day, the Lord gave me something that week before. And immediately he gave me John 8:32 that said, Jesus said, I have all these in here, so if you want to turn, or I'm going to go pretty fast so I can get through them. If you need to write it down and you didn't get it, just say, raise your hand, I'll stop and I'll repeat it, okay? I apologize, I get going too fast. John 8:32, Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. We all know that scripture. So, Ricky, I go and start looking these words up like Ricky does. I'm trying to become a little more scholarly about the way I do things. So I look up the word from a biblical standpoint. I want to get it from the biblical standpoint, not just from today's modern version of Webster's dictionary, because Mr. Webster had a lot better definitions than the modern version. He went more from a biblical standpoint. And so I went and looked up and tried to find the biblical point. To know, the word know, be aware of, through observation, inquiry, or information. Again, to know is to be aware of something through observation, inquiry, or information. Second part of the definition, develop a relationship with someone through meeting and spending time with them. So, a quick deal about spending time with people. You know, for all the married couples in here, you know how the Bible tells us that, you know, Paul said it's a mystery between a husband and wife and they become one flesh. Kathy and I, we're getting so tuned into one another. This is really good because, I mean, only 42 years. But the other day during the day, Ricky, I'm thinking, I'd really like some of that gumbo that we had the other night for supper. And Kathy's in town, Hattie, at the store. Well, I'm thinking, well, I ain't going to call her. She's probably done. She gets home. I said, what's for supper? She said, gumbo. And I'm like, yes, baby, we are one foot. We even know what we want to eat at night. You know what? If that thought pattern happens with us, shouldn't it happen between us and the Lord and the Holy Spirit? So we spend time in the Word of God by spending time meditating, reading it, thinking about it, listening to it, talking it, sharing it with others. We become one flesh with our Heavenly Father, one spirit, not flesh, one spirit with our Heavenly Father. We get to that point where His thoughts are our thoughts. Because we know His thoughts are above ours and better than ours. Kathy and I were had some things going this week, and the Lord, I get in these situations, I'm not very good. Because when I start a project, I want to get her done. And Kathy and the Lord are like, slow down. And the Lord says, my timing is impeccable. It's never off. Sometimes I have a hard time with that part, Howdy. I'm like, I'd like to argue with him, but I know better. Don't argue. Kathy, she'll scold me, Roger. And I tried to take my scolding like a man and be quiet. Men, practice the ministry of silence sometimes. Just shut up. Don't say nothing. If you have to go to the shop in the truck, drive around a little bit, do something that's preventing strife. So just prevent it. Amen. You know, we are the spiritual leaders of the house, but not the boss. Okay, just get that. If you're newly married, you need to get that right off. You're the spiritual leader. God holds you responsible for the spiritual leadership of your family, but you are not the boss. You got things there. So to know, you know, is we're going to be aware, we're going to study, we're going to listen, we're going to get tuned in, we're going to know the truth. Jesus said, know the truth. The Word of God is the truth. We're going to know the truth, and we're going to be free. What do you need to be free from today? You know, all of us, listen, it's a constant deal of something trying to bind us up. Because anytime the enemy can get us bound, they're thinking, you know, maybe it's just thinking about something that is just bothering us. It's not sin. It's just the fact that we're letting it get so, where our thoughts get so focused on that now we're not free. We don't think clearly. We don't hear clearly because that's all we're thinking about. And the Lord's trying to talk. That's like, you know, how many times, man? It's like she says, you weren't listening to me. Well, I heard her, but I wasn't listening. Come on, y'all got real quiet. You know you do. Wives, how many times have your husbands lately you said you weren't listening to me? Any? At all? Yeah. You know, I mean, listen. So if that happens between us and our spouse, then it happens between, we get so... We could go to like Hebrews 12. We're surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that besets us, or anything that interferes with our hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. We got to stay tuned in. We got to stay focused. We got to get on that deal to where I'm going to stay free to be who God called me to be. So I can do what God called me to do. Because we all know Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord. I wrote down there that, you know, God wants to reveal all those plans He has for us. But if we ain't tuned in, we can't hear. If we're so distracted by the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, we've allowed them to enter in and choke out the Word. And if we don't hear the Word, we don't hear God. The Word of God is the voice of the Holy Spirit. Okay, y'all okay with that? Okay. Free. I really love this. Not being bound or held captive to anything or anyone that would control or prevent us from being all that God intended for us to be. Free. Not being bound or held captive to anything or anyone that would control or prevent us from being all that God intended for us to be. When we are free, we are in alignment with our Creator. We're lined up. We hear. We're not in a ditch. We're going the path that He's got for us to go. Now, those distractions, maybe... let me think of a good word to put it, but self-centeredness. It's like, well, Lord, I don't want to do it that way. I don't want to wait. I want it now. Can't we do it this way? How many of your kids ever said that growing up? How many times you said that to you? How many times? Dad, I want to do it this way. My dad was one of them. He'd share with you a couple times, Kenny, you know, this would probably be the best way to do it. Well, I don't like that. Okay. And then I experienced the consequences of my actions. Nobody in here has went through that, have you? If we're gonna, when we're free, we're not bound up by any of that. We are free from everything that would hinder us from being in alignment with our Creator. We need to be aligned right now more than ever before, because we're here for such a time as this. We're a chosen generation. Man, we need to get the orders right of a morning. We need to go out today, and we need to say, God, I'm going to be all you got for me to be. I'm going to speak when I'm supposed to speak, and I'm going to shut up when I'm supposed to shut up, but I'm not afraid to say what you'd have me to say. I'm going to speak the truth. I'm going to study the Word. I'm going to meditate on the Word so that when I run into one of them TGB, whatever they call them people, that I'm going to say, you know, God didn't create you that way. Oh, yeah, well, I think He did. No. Right here in Genesis, it says that He created us man and woman. There's two genders. There ain't no more. You're either a man or you're a woman. And if you don't know, let me show you how to tell what you are. But that's what God created you to be. And you ain't nothing else. Now, whether you like it, just because you go to the barn, in the pig barn, don't make you a pig. Well, that's what I identify as today. Well, here, let me fix some slop for you and let me roll you around the mud. We need to speak the truth from the standpoint of the Word of God. Genesis tells us, right, creation. The laws of nature and nature's God are evident out in the world. You can point them to horses or cattle or anything else and say, they know. You don't. We've got to speak the truth. And we don't need to ad-lib all I'm ad-libbing. We just need to share the Word and say, this, do what, Kat? In love. I'm saying, but when we speak the Word, and we do it, you know, and just say, wait a minute, you're being robbed of the very destiny that God created for you before the foundations of the world. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. He didn't make no mistakes. He created you to be something that the devil has deceived you and made you think it's pleasurable. And it's not. It's destroying your very life and robbing you of eternity with a heavenly Father that loves you. We just got to be bold. You know, in Acts chapter 5, right there it says, thank you, Lord, I say this every day, thank you, Lord, for granting me the boldness to speak your word. And as I speak your word, you will confirm it with signs and wonders following. If we'll just speak it, and we can walk off and not get in an argument, we don't have to argue. This is the truth. You don't have to argue the truth. You just give it to them. Let the Holy Spirit deal with them as He sees fit. We just need to speak it. We plant a seed. Someone else, you know, we plant the seed and someone else comes by and they share a little something else and water it. And pretty soon, they can't sleep at night. They start seeing all these things you and I are shared with them. And the Holy Spirit, we open the door. You know, a lot of the body of Christ is opening the doors to a whole lot of things that are not of God. And we need to be very careful what we open doors to. There's people got kids being robbed of their destiny because they've allowed them to open doors in their life to occult things. And Howdy sees a lot of that. All you teachers, y'all see a lot of that at school. That's a whole nother deal. Freedom produces peace, not strive for frustration. It produces clear thinking, clear vision, enables us to be a partaker of the divine nature of Christ. Jesus was free. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that caused Him to be free abides in me and you. We have access to freedom if we're willing to cultivate what it takes to be free. John 10:10, y'all know the thief does not come except to kill, steal, or destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, have freedom more abundantly. To be free, to be who we each one are called to be. You know, fill our spot, you know. I say this a lot. We need to recognize the strategy and seats of Satan and put a stop to him by speaking the Word of God out of our mouth, because he's trying to bind us up. He's trying to get us out of freedom into bondage, because then when he does, we're not effective. He doesn't care if we're saved. By this point, he knows you're saved and going to heaven, me and you. He knows we're saved going to heaven and that we serve a risen God. But if he can keep us bound up and self-centered, we're not being effective. And when we get in those situations and circumstances and all our eyes are on us and our little issue that's going on that has no eternal destiny probably whatsoever, then we'll walk right by someone that God run by us to minister to that day. I don't want to miss the opportunities, because we're being a part of the kingdom of God and setting people free, setting others free by doing that. Okay? Are you all okay? So, isn't it Habakkuk 2:4? It says, write the vision and make it plain. Tell me, run with it. I didn't write down where it come from, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be known unto God. Philippians chapter 4. It said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication is written request. And God scolded me. I used to write things down, and I'm going to tell you what. I've noticed that when I'm obedient to write down the request, God said, don't be anxious for it. Write it down. Let your request be made known unto me. And then through prayer and thanksgiving, watch that request be manifested. That's my paraphrase. That's not exactly how it's said in Philippians chapter 4. But the supplication thing is the written request. I have noticed, when I look back on my life and when I've written something down and detailed it, the answer, the manifestation, things go to working much faster. Because you know how it is. Like Kathy on the way, she says, remind me when we get home, I need to get these t-shirts out. And I said, you better write yourself a note, because the last thing I'm going to think of when we get home is t-shirts. When we write things down, we can look back at it and see what we wrote and what we requested. And when the Lord begins to deal with us on those things, He'd say, wait a minute, I gave you this dream, vision, write it down, make it plain. Make a supplication, make a prayer request. And then it'll keep us from settling for that which is not of God. Now that gives me chills, because I'll settle. Sometimes I'm just so tired of being where I'm at, let me get over here. And an 18-year-old kid told me one day, his grandfather told him, so it didn't come from the 18-year-old kid first. But he said, what's bothering you? I said, I'm trying to fix the mistake I made. He said, my grandpa told me, don't make another one, son, trying to fix the one you just made. I'm like, man, you know, that's pretty good stuff. And it so much is. Tuned in. God wants us free. He wants us to know the truth, and the truth makes us free. There's no other way to do that than through Jesus. We're not going to receive that through anyone else but Jesus. And okay, Lord, I'll make sure I go to the right place next. Okay, I'm going to try to do this really quickly. This is another thing that I like to do, different parts. I'm reading the Word this way. I want to ask you all a question. Y'all be honest with me. You can answer this if you want to. Any time when you quote a lot of Scripture, and you quote the same Scripture over and over, and you get this thought in your head, God's tired of hearing you say the same thing over and over again. Do you ever get that thought? I mean, I do. I'm like, Lord, you get tired. This morning, as I'm doing it, He said, son, I don't ever get tired of you hearing you declare my word over and over, because He said, that means you're listening to me. He said, that's my word. That is life and health and healing to all your flesh. I don't ever get tired of hearing my word. All right, that's pretty good too. He said, you just say same thing over and over. I don't get tired of it. He said, you're just building yourself up. He said, I know it. But he said, I hear it. And he said, it's a petition before me to be carried out in your life. So don't ever let the enemy tell you, oh, you've quoted that every day for 30 years. What? You just keep quoting it. Amen. You just keep declaring it. He said, you declare it and it shall be established for you, is what it told Job. So keep declaring and it's established. The manifestation, establishment are under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Our job is to speak it and declare it. Okay? So here's y'all all know. Turn to Isaiah chapter 60. I really felt led to just declare this and say this over everyone in here, and I really just wanted to walk around, and I may still do that. Gary, is it okay if I walk around? Does it make noise or do anything? Will it cause any problems? Okay. I'm going to do that some. Isaiah 60, I may have to look back at it, but arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord's risen upon you, because He's anointed you to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent you to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim, that goes into 61, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening to the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Proclaim it. Receive it. Thank Him for it, because it's yours. That's who you are. We're to rise up and take our place to fill the spot that God's given each one of us to fulfill. And as we do that, the manifestations of 60 and 61 begin to take place in our lives and in the area of influence that we've been placed in at this time, for such a time as this. Don't back off. Don't back down. Don't yield any ground to the enemy. And listen, guys, it's a battle. It's a deal, but the Lord said, you keep declaring my word, you keep decreeing, you keep standing, you keep walking. When we encourage those around us, they get encouraged. And we get encouraged because we were obedient. We planted seeds of encouragement, we reap encouragement. We're effective. And God wants us to be effective. The enemy doesn't want us to be effective. He don't want us to be excited. He don't want us to be political. I don't care what he wants. He is nothing but a fallen angel. God is good. The devil is bad, as Corey tells us all the time. So if he's bad, stomp on him like a piece of poop. Put him in his place, in the pile. He eventually wants to leave you alone. Because, you know, when you keep hammering on someone, they're like, I got to get away from them for a while. Have you ever had somebody just, you know, you like them, they get in your face, and they just talk, you know, and you're like, please be quiet. He's like, I got to get away from them. They won't quit talking about the blood and Jesus. And when we talk those things, he can't stay around. He has to go. That causes us, we're not yielding any ground to him, okay? We're not going to do that. So, be excited about that. And the only way the only way we can walk in this is knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Because we're not empowered to do it until we come under, you know, knowing that Jesus, Romans 10:9-10, that Jesus was the Son of God. He lived and died on this earth and was raised from the dead. God raised him from the dead. And when we believe with our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that He's the Son of God, that He did all these things, and He came here to put us back into right relationship with our Heavenly Father, when we declare that, when we receive it, when we believe it, we become born again, our spirit man born again. This body, it's just a piece of clothing to cover the spirit. And it's got issues. I know you grimaced when I walked up the steps. I grimace sometimes too when I walk up the steps, yeah. I actually shod 3 horses this week, Ricky. And I shod 2 in one day. I told Cassie, I ain't done that howdy in years. And did pretty good. I mean, I grimace every now and then, but I do things still that, you know, I'm still believing God for, I don't know how he regenerates that cartilage and meniscus, but he can do it. And I'm standing for it. And if he tells me at some point, go let that other guy help me, I'll do that too. But for right now, I'm standing because I can ride and rope every day, howdy, and it don't hurt. And if I need to walk very far, I just get my Kawasaki mule and drive it around. So, I got a team helping me. And I got advice right over here. And it's all good. First step, we got to make Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. We got to know Jesus. Because, I mean, listen, guys, everyone in here, God knew us, each one, before He formed us in our mother's womb. That right there is why there should never be an abortion. God had plans for each and every one of us, and He didn't make no mistakes. things have happened, life happens, things, you know, we live in an imperfect world, but God, we've been, if we know Jesus, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And our born again spirits and filled with the Holy Ghost, and we're going to go to heaven. So, with that being said, if today you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you need to do it. You don't want to go to hell. Hell's just eternal separation from God. I can't get a total grasp on eternity, but it's a long, long time, and it don't ever end. And you don't want to spend once this body quits, and our spirit departs. It's going either with Jesus or with the devil. It's going to heaven or hell. And the best place is heaven because you don't get a second chance. There ain't no retakes. Just because you know there ain't no curve in the grade or none of that stuff. It's the real deal. And God, no, we don't want, man, Jesus don't want no one. He desires that no man perish, but all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if today, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, oh, we just beg you today to please do that. I want you to do it from the heart, but you got to know. So everyone in here is going to pray this prayer. And if you've never made Jesus your Lord, please pray this prayer with us and make Jesus your Lord today. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you today for Jesus. I realize that I've sinned and fallen short of your glory. But I thank you, Father, you provided redemption through the blood of Jesus. So I'm here to partake of that right now in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, to be the Lord of my life, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I receive that cleansing. I choose you as Lord from this day forward. I walk in the life that you created for me to walk in the name of Jesus. Before we say amen, every head bowed and every eye closed. If today you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to do one thing for me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to count to three and ask you to raise your hand. And if you did, we just want to get you a Bible. And if you did, when we close too, you need to get water baptized as soon as you can. So on the count of three, if you made Jesus the Lord of your life today, please raise your hand for me and let me know so they can get you a Bible. Ready? One, two, three. Right here. Thank you. Anybody else? Praise God. Y'all look up. Two today. Thank you, Lord. If there's anybody else that I missed, please let me know. Thank you, Jesus, so much. I thank you guys. I've had a blast. It's so nice to just be back. I just, you know, just knowing how much God loves us. Think about that all week. God loves you so much that he sent Jesus to die for you and put you back in right relationship. You can spend eternity with your Heavenly Father. And I just give it back to Howdy.